following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, September 4th. This is Jim Ozarski along with your co-host, my co-host, and everybody's friend, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal.
Just look at my Twitter feed.
Exactly. And PackersNews.com. And Tom, here we are. We are on the eve of roster cuts from 80 to 53. And everything about it is weird because they've had 16 days of training camp, another three practices that we haven't gotten to see due to regular season rules. So really, I mean, you're talking less than 3 weeks of work for Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur to make this team up. And I know we've talked a lot in these Green 19 podcasts about how, you know, we felt that the top part of this roster was pretty much set, but I don't know. Let's get into it. They still got a cut, from 80 to 53.
Yep.
They've got to make sure 16 guys come back and look, either they can claim another guy or two, or maybe, some other team takes a chance and claims one of these guys for their own roster. So I'll leave it up to you. Where do you want to start? What's the first thing that kind of pops to mind as we discuss the formation of the 2020 Green Bay Packers?
Well, I think we should talk about the offensive line because there's so much in flux there. So they're going to have to make some decisions based on injury. So we don't know for sure whether Billy Turner will be able to start against Minnesota after he sprained his knee in the scrimmage on Sunday and hasn't been back in practice yet. Rick Wagner would be the obvious replacement, but he's still nursing that elbow injury, wears a big old brace. And from what I can see, I don't know that he's going to be ready to be able to handle full contact. And so you're sitting there then and trying to figure out, okay, who's going to play right tackle? Who do you have to keep in order to, if you move one of the guards like Lane Taylor or Elton Jenkins to tackle, then how do you replace the guard and who are your backups? And then do you decide to keep a tackle like Yosh Niemann or an Alex Light because you're short on tackles? So there's a lot of question marks with that group. I think they got to keep at least 10. Because of the injuries.
Yeah, that's interesting. These injuries have really perhaps thrown a wrench into some things for Gutekunst in that way. I mean, there was a part of me, Tom, that thought, everybody being healthy, that they would just go with 9.
Right.
Largely because 8 can be active and there is some positional versatility. But yeah, you're right. I mean, at the tackle spot, really, to me, if they were going to keep 9, Alex Light is your swing tackle, probably more on the left side, Wagner or Turner as your backup. But, if both of those guys are going to have a pro, I don't know. I think you're better off making do to me, Tom, making do with an Alex Light for a game. We've seen him do it. We've seen them do that, as opposed to moving really strong parts of your line elsewhere, right? Because wasn't that was the issue when Bulaga was hurt and ill last year? How do you take Elton Jenkins off a left guard when you could have argued he got Pro Bowl votes last year. So you're just going to – and then who's your left guard then? Lucas Patrick?
So you've weakened yourself at probably two positions, although I believe – Elton Jenkins could play anywhere. And I honestly believe Lane Taylor could play out there. He played left tackle for them. I'm trying to remember, was it in Minneapolis? No, it was in Atlanta, I think. Or anyway, he has played left tackle. So he could line up out there. I wouldn't. So we just don't know about Billy Turner. I wouldn't totally rule him out. He's going to have to make a little bit of some progress this weekend, and then we'll see. But they could definitely go without him practicing. He could step in there. I don't think he's the kind of guy that needs practice. So anyway, that's a decision they got to make.
What makes that interesting, if they went with 10 offensive linemen, Tom, you've got three quarterbacks. That means you really got, what, 12 spots for receivers, running backs, tight ends, fullbacks. Right. I mean,
you're going light somewhere.
Yeah.
I suppose they could go with 9 on the offensive line. Don't forget you can keep 8 active.
Yes.
You can keep 48 guys active as long as one of them's a lineman, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So as long as you have 8 linemen active. So I don't know. Would you let Yash Nieman go out on the market? Do you think he'd get picked up?
You know, I mean, he didn't get picked up or signed elsewhere, you know, last season, Tom. You know, Adam Pankey was that guy who once the Packers cut him, you know, other teams picked him up. They brought him back. They cut him again, and then he's gone again. Mm-hmm. You know, no game film on Nieman except for some of those preseason games. And
right.
Then he was on IR, and he just came off PUP. I think a personnel guy around the league being, wow, okay, this dude just was activated, you know, 5 days ago. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, 5 days ago. But here's the thing. So he got bumped up to the 53, right?
At yes.
Mid-season. And that indicates to everybody around the league that the Packers think he's good enough to be on their 53-man roster. So they must think something of him. And they kept him on PUP instead of just releasing him. So there's got to be something there. And 6'7" guys who can move are not – they don't grow on trees. So that's going to be interesting guy to watch on cutdown day.
For sure, because it would mean, especially since it was two tackles who got hurt, that maybe, yeah, you know, it puts some of those lower level, even draft picks on the interior line in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Unless they've seen enough Alex Light, you know.
Maybe they just give up on him. I don't know.
You know, and just decide, you know what, it's better for us to devote that time. You know, he's in what, Alex Light in year 3 at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the interesting – those are the interesting decisions I think Brian Gutekunst has to make, whether it's like an Alex Light versus a Yash Nieman. Mm-hmm. Or before Kamal Martin was hurt, like what Oren Burks or, you know, a Ty Summers, mm-hmm. you know, or Josh Jackson versus a Stanford Samuels, where it's like, okay, year 4 guy who's still having uneven days and ups and downs. And I mean, or do you go with the younger guy, you know? So okay. maybe that's part of the discussion along the offensive line as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. So what?
Let's stay on offense.
Yeah. So and keeping one extra lineman, I mean, that's a big deal, especially with the three quarterbacks. How did you view? Let's just go with the running backs. How did you view that room, and where do you think they would go?
So I think it comes down to. So I think running back and tight end are intertwined. If you decide to keep Lovett, the H-back that they picked up from Kansas City, then you have to let one of those tight ends go. You can't keep 5 tight ends, and you may only be able to keep 3. I think you could keep 4. But then you're using, you know, Josiah DeGara or – Sternberger or someone like that at fullback. I think you could get away with counting Tyler Irvin as a wide receiver And then you could say, all right, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon. You could cut Dexter Williams and then just go with those three plus Lovett. That would give you four running backs.
Yeah.
Five if you count Irvin. Four, you go with four tight ends. And that would leave you how many wide receivers?
I think you're down to four.
Let's see. So five running backs, including Irvin. Let's just say 10 linemen. Five tight ends, three quarterbacks. Jeez, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, and that's – I think it would be – I think in that scenario, Tom, you'd have to put a slash next to Tyler Irvin, you know, where he would probably fit the role of a receiver. Because, yeah, it's Davante Adams, Valdes-Scantling, Alan Lazard. You know, and really, you know, I think there's a battle there between Malik Taylor, Jake Kumerow, Equanimeous St. Brown. You know, does Irvin fit in there?
Yeah.
You know, it's I think you can go five receivers coming out.
I think you have to. I mean, I think you have to have five, but I think that's it. I don't think you can go more than that. So you got Adams. Obviously, Valdes-Scantling, Lazard. Then who's your fourth?
Wow. I mean, I would – like, I love me some touchdown Jesus, but Malik Taylor to me has – he's got that 4.4 speed, 6.1, 220. I think he can do some stuff on special teams.
I agree. You know? I think – if it were me, I would keep him over Kumerow.
Yeah.
But you still have a fifth spot, and that can go to Kumerow, Darius Shepherd, Equanimeous St. Brown. Boy, who'd you take out of that?
If that's the group, I'd go with Kumerow because I don't know if St. Brown has done – that would be like the project one. That would be saying that – we're going to give a little on special teams. We're going to give a little on experience and trust with the starting quarterback, but we think the upside by the end of the year is a little better, right? Because they're essentially the same body type, same kind of speed. I mean, Kumerow is a pro, right? But I don't know if he's got a ceiling anymore. He might be at it, whereas St. Brown may still have that little bit of – what if just because they haven't seen enough of them?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tight. You know, maybe they don't keep Lovett and they go with four tight ends.
That's what I thought of. I didn't think John Lovett made the team.
Yeah.
You know, so he was my odd man out in this conversation where I went with Mercedes Lewis, Tanyan, Sturberger and DeGuara.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, you know, maybe three or four teams putting a claim in on Lovett would make Goody itchy, but also for Packers fans, you know, they released him on July 28th. Yeah. I mean, these teams knew they were going to get this guy for the whole camp.
That's right. Yep.
So,
you're probably keeping nine linemen. You're keeping four tight ends, five wide receivers, and four running backs. And three quarterbacks, 12, 16. That's 25.
I knew you'd come around on my way of thinking.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way they have to go. And, you know, so that means unless they count Tyler Irvin as a specialist and go one less on defense, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, The defense now is interesting, Tom, because it's going to drive the coaches crazy and probably Goody to a degree, but this is the exercise of the 53 I find fascinating. So Kamal Martin and Montrevious Adams, let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
These guys aren't going to play week one.
Juan Martin's going to be out. The decision really is, do you got to pup him or put him on IR?
But you got to carry him on the field.
You got to carry him. And same thing with Montrevious Adams. So on the surface, those are two guys that have to make the 53-man roster before anything else can happen. And, you know, it's interesting because that's the Sternberger-Lazard thing from a year ago where they had to cut Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
And now, of course, I think they'll be able to get, for the most part, the players they want, you know, to come back. But that's that 12-hour claiming period, you know. So what do you – I guess let's start with inside linebacker, just because I feel like that's more of a hit for this team, is to see the rookie go down and be hurt to a degree where, you know, they have to decide if he's going to go on IR to start the season. And now you're back to square one with Oren Burks and Ty Summers. And I mean, I don't know, does Chris Barnes make the team or has he come back just after being cut to fill the void? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think we're looking at four inside linebackers, including Martin. And I think the reason you do that is because you're probably going to wind up playing Raven Green there more than you do a second linebacker. I think they liked the concept of using Kamal Martin in some passing downs, in some nickel situations. But now that he's out, I don't think they trust Oren Burks to do that. And I think they're going to have to figure out a way to play with five or six DBs.
And as we record this, Raven Green has missed practice for a week. I mean, he spent all of last year on IR, and that's – I mean, it looks like based on his side work, you know, he may be back next week.
You could see him running. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, but still, what are you counting on there, Tom? I mean, a guy who hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah, he doesn't worry me. The thing that – should worry them is just the injury factor.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy. They have Will Redmond. I think he can play that position too. He's bigger than Raven Green. You know, the question is if they have to go, if Minnesota comes in and goes double tight end against them, they're going to have to play two inside linebackers. You can't play nickel against that all game long.
So. Yeah, and that's and again that's you know Oren Burks or Ty Summers at that point, or I mean is Vernon Scott the rookie, you know, we mentioned Raven Green too, but it is interesting that they still are so thin at inside linebacker, Tom. I think you don't ever want to be in a position where one guy gets hurt and you're kind of scrambling, but I just feel that's that's what it is.
Yeah, if they carry, you know, so they'll carry, let's say they carry four into the 53 Saturday, then I think they'd have to turn around and put Martin on IR and then figure out another inside linebacker. I think you'd have to do that.
Yeah, you
go with three inside linebackers, can you?
I'm the only way I could see that, Tom, is let's switch it to the room right next door that at outside linebacker. Last year they only kept four, and Tim Williams seems to have secured the Kyler Fackrell spot. I don't know if he can cover as efficiently as Fackrell could at times. So, I mean, is that where you go a little deeper? Do you think, you know, a Tipa Galay or Jonathan Garvin –
I wouldn't. I just think you got the two Smiths, you got Gary and Williams, and anybody else you can get out of the practice squad. I don't think there's anybody there that's a must have. I mean, I like Jonathan Garvin. I think he might have a future, but I don't think that he's in danger of being picked up on a 53.
And so, and you don't think they would just bolster that room? So, you know, let's just say Martin goes to IR. You're thinking they're going to go to the street for a street free agent.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, remember, I'll remind the listeners out there, any street free agent has to start the COVID protocol. So, you know, if they do make a claim and they're awarded that guy, I mean, it's going to be a 5-day process before you can even get in the building, let alone practice or anything like that.
Well, isn't there an exception for guys who've been in camp? I think guys who've been in camp and are cut, I believe there's a exception there. I'll have to look that up. We should know that.
Yeah, we will make sure to have all of that spelled out for you guys over at PackersNews.com. When we put up our cut tracker, roster tracker, we will make sure you are all up to date. And we are all up to date, quite frankly, on all of the new COVID rules and whatnot. And, you know, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe there's different rules because guys have been getting cut during the week here, Tom, which means they're technically out on the street for a few days before waivers and whatnot. So that may change protocols as well.
I think it's waivers. So if you claim a guy on waivers, it's just a 24-hour period. I think you can get him back. He only has to pass two tests in a day or something like that. We'll have to find that out. I'll write myself a little note here. But anyway, they could wind up, and maybe they go into the Minnesota game with three inside linebackers. And Raven Green is 4 and Will Redmond is 5, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's you mentioned potentially having to run the ball and whatnot. So where are you at with the defensive line? Especially again, I mean, do you think that they carry Montravius Adams through and do a short-term IR, or is he in a boat where he could just be IR'd? And maybe they can have the contract toll for next year. I don't know, quite know the rules on that either.
No, his contract would expire. I would carry him into the 53 reluctantly. And I would put him on IR immediately. And then, so that means you'd have to go with Kenny Clark, Kingsley Kiki, Tyler Lancaster, and Dean Lowry. And then I would bring up either, you know, assuming you can get them on the practice squad, Trayvon Hester, who's not healthy, or Willington Prevalon. Those are probably your two options there to replace Adams.
Yeah, and Hester, that is a good point. He has missed, I guess now we're about a week's worth of practice, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least days that he has been off. We're not quite sure his injury, you know, kind of fits that mold of veterans now who can be on a practice squad this year. So I haven't seen much from him, Tom, to even have a thought one way or the other. Since he spent, you know, he missed a good chunk of the beginning of all this being on the COVID-19 reserve list.
Yeah.
So he's had a rough go of it this camp.
Yeah. So, you know, you could conceivably go with 4 and count Rashawn Gary as sort of a hybrid, because there's going to be times he's on the field with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. I just don't know if it's going to be in the base defense. That's the question.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Especially since on the defensive side here, they've got a couple of those injury, you know, carry throughs that they'll have to make. And you touched on outside linebacker there. So you're still thinking the 4. What do you make out of that corner room, Tom? I thought that obviously we kind of know the top end with Alexander, Kevin King, Chandon Sullivan, Kadar Holman, you know, as one of the first guys up on the boundary. I mean, Mike Pettine today said that he thinks Josh Jackson's going to have to play a lot for him. That surprised me a little bit. I thought if there was going to be a quote-unquote surprise cut, Tom, I thought Josh Jackson might be that guy. The way Deshaun Amos and Stanford Samuels III have played.
I just think – so this is by far their deepest group. And we're talking about, I'm totaling it up now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six. We're talking about nine guys total. You know, and that includes Raven Green, Will Redmond, Josh Jackson, and Kadar Holman. You know, so
yeah,
you're letting Deshaun Amos and Will Sunderland, a couple of guys who, young guys who have potential. That does not include Vernon Scott.
Interesting. So I had Vernon Scott making my initial 53.
So how many DBs did you have?
I had a lot of DBs. I went one. I had Alexander, Kevin King, Channon Sullivan as my three starting corners. Josh Jackson, four. Kadar Holman, five. So I went lighter in the corner room with Amos, Savage Jr., your starting safeties, Vernon Scott, Raven Green.
Yeah, you could go 10.
Yeah. Will Redmond. I didn't forget about Will Redmond. I the reason I went a little lighter at corner was because I thought because Redmond was drafted as a corner, played a couple years as a corner, I thought he gave you kind of that, uh-oh, some guys went down. Like, Will Redmond can get us through the game playing corner.
Yeah. I think so.
But I could see, like, you're right, that back end, I mean, I think – you know, if they kept an Amos or Samuels over Josh Jackson or Holman, I wouldn't be stunned by that.
Yeah.
I think those – and, again, that goes back to what we were kind of saying earlier. You know, what's the trade-off? You know, the fourth-year guy still making whatever mistakes, but he has some draft status versus the rookie who is just as up and down but is maybe making more of an impact, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know. It's interesting. But this time of year, no training camps, no nothing. Maybe you do lean on the veterans a little more and hope those young guys can get through to the practice squad.
Yeah, yeah. I do think you'd probably go with 10. And that would include, you know, so then that would be four outside linebackers, four inside linebackers, and five D linemen. That's 9, 13, 23. Add the three specialists, that's 26. And then you could go 26 on offense.
Yeah. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I think that these back-end conversations are what most GMs kind of stress over for sure. I think what makes this interesting for the Packers is that you have injuries going on at right tackle. So you're already facing a depth problem because let's be honest, Tom, you know this. Most teams don't even have two tackles, and I don't know if any of them have three, let alone four. And then, on the defensive side of the ball, Kamal Martin's going to start. So you've already lost a starter, and Montrevious Adams, for whatever his role was going to be, he was going to have one. So, you know, they're already a little tested there. So it's kind of interesting how they're going to shape this, the back end of this here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, you know, special teams plays a role in it. And,
yeah.
You know, injuries play a part in it. So I think we have a pretty good idea. I just think we'll be nitpicking at the end as to who goes where.
Yeah. The offensive line, you know, again, how quickly things change. You know, just a few days ago, you know, Billy Turner finished out that practice, and you don't really know what that means. Kamal Martin finished out that practice, mm-hmm. you know, and they both now are, you know, we know Martin's out, and, you know, that really changes things. That third quarterback, Tom, I mean, look, there's a reason a lot of teams don't carry three.
Yeah.
You know, and this is one where I'm sure there's going to be a guy on the board where, you know, maybe no one says it out loud because of who the third quarterback is, but you just, we could use another spot.
Yeah.
So, but so it's a team, I think, Tom, I don't have a great handle on it, but that said, none of these guys, not a lot of them, were going to play in the preseason. I really would have liked to have seen, you know, A.J. Dillon run the ball and catch the ball.
Same thing with Sternberger and DeGuara. I think that would give us a better handle on this offense, don't you think, if we could have seen
Yeah, I think we'll have a little more time next week to consider what this offense is going to look like, because I really want to see how it breaks down on the roster. And then, yeah, we'll see. I do think they'll be a tight end heavy team, though.
I think so, too. We might have a – what was that Bears game, Tom, like – 2-3, 4-5 on that opener last year in Chicago, yeah. That low-scoring slugfest. I can see a similar type of setup in Minneapolis where it's just a lot of running, some missed tackles, you know, quarterbacks and receivers looking at each other like, where are you going? You know,
yeah. Yep.
It's been that kind of camp.
So you can follow all the cuts, too. On our blog Saturday, all day long, we'll be following every cut. So be sure.
Yeah, Tom Silverstein will be back with his world famous live blog. So is it going to look different for people, Tom?
It'll look a little bit different. You're going to have to re-register, and
it's a big change.
So anybody who's listening, go. It's really easy. It's really easy to register. It'll look a little bit different, but it's easy to get on, and it'll take you just a couple of minutes, and we'll be there all day, all of us, and you and Ryan and I will be pounding the pavement.
Yeah, and so make sure to join Tom for that. And, of course, you want to head over jsonline.com/deals and packersnews.com, and you want to subscribe. You get all this stuff. All this good stuff we got coming up here. The end of camp, Ryan's Mock 53 is coming out here soon. Olivia Reiner will have one of us on to break some things down this weekend. And then, yeah, you flip right away into week one, which will be unlike literally any other in NFL history. So keep it locked here. You know, bookmark us and come back. Follow us on all our socials. And, you know, Tom and I will be back with this in your ears. You know, right after, shortly after cuts, and we take a look at the final iteration, or at least the season opening iteration of the 2020 Green Bay Packers. And so for Tom, I'm Jim. We will talk to you then.